Well, I'm not lusting God. I'm just reading the articles. Carnal mind, right? I know some of you are laughing because, but there's things in your life that you rationalize too, right? Just being honest, this is what God did, and he would reveal it to you. And then when you're finally looking into the mirror of life, which is the Bible, you look at it, and when the revelation comes, you look at it and you say, how could I think I was fooling God, and how did I fool myself? Carnal mind. But I'm not obligated to it. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God that when he moves the carnal mind, those things that you have done, there's consequences for them, but he has grace and mercy. And he uses them for your good, to build you up, that you may have a testimony. Amen. He says in 14, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and we cry, Abba, Father. And once we've been delivered from the carnal mind, there should be nothing we're afraid of. Because wherever God leads us, he protects us and keeps us. And you know, we don't go when we want to go. We go when he sends us. Sometimes I've seen people who've been saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit. They have zeal, but they don't have wisdom to wait on God. And they have this zeal to go back. And they say, God has delivered me from this. I'm going to rush back into the environment and save others. God didn't send you. You can't do it. God has called you out so you can get ready and get prepared. But people who don't listen to God are back to the carnal mind. They're not doing it because God sent them. They're doing it because, well, I got to go back and help people because God helped me. And now they're not doing it out of obedience to God. They're doing it out of guilt. And when they fail, they blame God. It's a carnal mind. Right? I remember those first 3 years. I said, God, I did what you wanted me to do. I'm here. How come things are worse now than they were when I was, and what I was looking at was the carnal mind. They weren't worse. They were getting better. You know, I was praying, telling God, God, I'm here, and now because I've done what you wanted me to do, I think you owe me, God. I was bold, man. Come on, God. And so what I want now, God, because I did what you wanted me to do. I'm with my wife and all this stuff, and I'm in Rochester, and I did what you wanted me to do. I think I need $10,000 a month. Come on, Jesus. Come on. Thank God for the Holy Spirit, right? Amen. See, we're praying the Holy Spirit is interceding on our behalf. The Holy Spirit's saying, Lord, you know, just, you didn't hear that at all. I'm praying for him. What he says he needs now is more patience. And he needs to learn to live on nothing. And Lord, you know, so we're going to give him an opportunity to grow in you, right? Well, I need $10,000. I want my own business. $10,000 a month is the minimum I need. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. So I got to deliver papers, clean toilets. How you like that? Amen. There were some times where there was no income at all. And I'm saying, God, I'm praying. Is something wrong here? I mean, because this doesn't look like 10,000. And one day the Holy Spirit said, you need to understand what you need to pray, because you're praying amiss. So you need to pray, I need more of Jesus. You don't need $10,000. You need more of Jesus. And I'm like, God, what are you saying? He says, what I'm telling you is when you do what I tell you to do, you'll understand you need more of Jesus. You don't need $10,000. He said, in fact, if you had the $10,000, you'd destroy yourself. Going from the carnal mind to the spiritual mind. No obligation, right? So, but Lord, this doesn't look right. You know, I'm college educated. He said, and what does that mean? You better clean that toilet. The Lord started telling me, he says, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. So get to it, man. Make sure it's the best looking toilet you've ever cleaned. You know they don't pay a lot of money cleaning toilets. So he says, I know. But are you willing to do what I tell you to do? Will you clean the toilet, scrub the floor, do the things you said? I said, Lord, you know, I'll do whatever you want, but I don't like manual labor. So for 6 months, I worked on a church doing hard manual labor for nothing. So how do you like that? I was like, God, I know you're doing this to me, but I told you I didn't like it. He says, and what does that mean? Verse 16 said, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. There's a spirit man or woman in you that wants to live by the leading of the Holy Spirit, not by the carnal mind. And when you move into this realm where you trust God and you say, God, I'm going to let my spirit man communicate with the Holy Spirit. He tells you things that you never knew that make no sense to you. But when you do them, not even believing with your whole heart, it works out. Because God is in the process of making you understand what you want. You want to be like Jesus, right? You want to be like Jesus. He says, the Spirit himself testifies. 17 says, now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Well, when I started reading the Bible, in those 3 years, the Lord would, I had been reading all kinds of self-help books and reading everything to be self-determined. And God said, and what do you like about those books? I said, you know, every once in a while they'll mention your word. And that really makes me feel good. Every once in a while they'll get a little snippet of your scripture. He says, well, why don't you save some of your money and just read the Bible? And why don't you get it straight from the source instead of paying somebody else to give me one line? I said, okay, I'll do that. I said, you know, Lord, but I only read the New Testament. He said, you got to change that. He said, this is the book I want you to read now. I want you to read the book of Job. I said, I heard about Job. He suffered. He said, you didn't read the book. See, that's not the goal of Job. The goal of Job is to say that God does what he wants to because he's sovereign, but he always blesses more than he takes. So I read that book, and I said, wait a minute, you're saying that you, God, are sovereign. That means that I don't tell you what I want? It was a big revelation for me because I believed in God, but he was more like my genie. Lord, I need this. Come on. I need it. Not the sovereign Lord who was telling me how to live so that his kingdom would be sent forth. Carnal mind again. We can get things all twisted with the carnal mind, right? Not seeing the sovereign God is sovereign, meaning that he's sovereign in all things, including my life, my will, my way. Well, God help me. And I saw that he was sovereign. I saw Job suffered for no apparent reason, and yet God blessed him. That his suffering wasn't that great to God, which I didn't think. And with the carnal mind, I'm thinking, God, that's not fair. That's not fair. That's not fair. Still wasn't getting it, right? Verse 18 said, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. So that means I've been covered up and God is chipping away at me until I finally get revealed. And it's very liberating to finally come to the point to say, okay, God, it's yours. At the end of the 3 years, my carnal mind was fading. Some of you say, 3 years? Yeah, it wasn't complete? No, still not complete. God was working on this carnal mind, and he chipped it away. I was now to the point where I came to God and repented, and I said, God, forgive me for telling you how long I'd be willing to do whatever you want me to do. I just want to come to you today and say, Lord, whatever you say, I'll do. And I thought I had it. I thought, well, that must be it, because God started working and blessing and delivering, and those things I'd gone through, he restored my house, he restored my family, my love for my wife, my children came, they came quickly, and I said, okay, I got it now. But it said, do whatever I told you to do, right? And one of the things I wasn't doing, God was taking away the carnal mind. I was like, okay, God, I'm with you. I'm doing what you want me to do. And I'm working. And he said, now I want you to start working in the ministry. And I'm like, no. I've been here. It's 10 years now. I've done all you wanted me to do. And no, start in the ministry. God, you know, I'm not interested. But if I were to go into the ministry, God, I would be an evangelist because there's no way I'd ever want to be a pastor. Because, like, you know I don't like people. You know that. I don't like them. They always cause problems. God said, nope. So that's what you're going to do. And I yielded. What was I going to do? I mean, God had been with me. I knew his voice. I knew I said, God, I didn't go to seminary. He said, I don't care. You do what I tell you to do. You go where I want you to go. I went to a church. He said, where's your heart at? I said, well, Lord, I keep trying to tell you I want to be an evangelist. Because at least if I'm serving as an evangelist, I can come in and tell people all the things they've done wrong. Let's just straighten up and not leave town. Let the pastor clean that up. He said, no, that's not going to do. So I'm going to take you out here to Brockport. I'm like, I've never been to Brockport. So you go out there. You study. And then he said, I'm going to bring you into the city because my heart was always for the city. And when I went to Brockport, they said, you know, we don't have any ministries in the city, but that's what your heart is. God will provide. And he did. A year and a half later, we're here, right? By the grace of God, he did that. And then we came, we said, well, Lord, we don't know. You know, this is not really we don't know. He said, just go and do what I tell you to do. I'll preserve you. I'll keep you. He has, right? Colonel Mine would say, no, that doesn't make sense. When I left my job at the consulting firm without another job in place because God said so at a praise and worship meeting, you know, I was getting this spiritual mind that says now is the time to leave. And I'm like, God, you understand that there is no other form of support to replace my income. He said, that's okay. Because our God will supply, right? Every need. And you say, why is this so important to relay your testimony? I'm just telling you that God is true to his word, right? When you start living and being led by the Spirit, he opens doors that you couldn't see, couldn't imagine, and he blesses you in ways you could have never thought of. Hallelujah. By the way, I didn't do that as a single man either. You know, I had four children at the time. But God said, now's the time. Now's the time. Listen, it says, verse 26, in this same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he searches our hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Get away from the carnal mind. And we turn these things over to God. We say, God, we know you. We know your purpose. You didn't save us. You didn't bring us this far. You haven't kept us to destroy us. You kept us to deliver us so that we can be trophies for you, proclaiming your goodness through all the earth. And you think, well, I got that down, but I didn't. I remember the last thing God did to me to finally strip me from the last vestiges of thinking I had it. Because I was prideful. Lord, well, I did drink and I did smoke, and thank you for delivering me from that. And I had a pension for one to gamble because I thought I was smarter than everyone else, and God delivered me from that. And I know none of you have ever had these problems, but I'm just telling you. And then I finally come to the point where, you know, everything God was doing, he was bringing to my mind. No, you can't do that. You don't want to do that. And finally I thought I had it, but there was one last thing. I thought, because of the way I was brought up, that my health was in my control. I did. I didn't believe in sickness. Anyone who did believe in sickness had a problem. It was pride in my mind. And I'm like, I don't get sick. I don't need to be sick. But I wasn't giving God credit for it. It was me. It was my will. And then God finally got me. He had told me not to worry. Every year about this time, for some reason, I got sick. I didn't know what it was. I thought maybe it was my relatives in Dayton. Maybe it was something about them, you know. Something they put in the food. I don't know what it was. I was fine until it was Thanksgiving and Christmas. So it had been a couple years in a row. I got so sick, I'd get dehydrated, have to rush to emergency. And went two or three times. And this last year it happened like 15 years ago. You know, I was so sick. And I'd been to the hospital twice, and now I had to go again in the same season. Mm-hmm. And I said, Lord, I don't understand it. I'm not a sick person. Why is this sickness upon me? I don't understand it. You've delivered me before. He said, do you remember I told you not to worry? I said, yeah. He said, you still worry. That, by the way, don't worry is a command. It's not a request. And I said, well, you know, Lord, I'm just trying to do what you want me to do. I got all this stuff that you give. You know how we make excuses? Like Adam in the Garden of Eden. It wasn't me, God. It was the woman you gave me. Right? The Lord said, no, I told you, don't worry. Don't worry. And I said, well, Lord, okay. He says, well, I'm going to teach you that things happen whether you're there or not. Some of you remember, I was in the hospital about 10 days. And they wanted to do surgery on me. And I'm like, oh, no, 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 no. I'm praying. God has already told me what the problem is. I need to stop worrying. I need to stop worrying. I remember asking one of the guys there to pray for me. Pray for me. And then, you know, they kept saying, well, I think we're going to have to do surgery, Mr. Walker. I said, what have you found? We haven't found anything, really. I mean, but you're way off, and we think it's pancreatitis. And they kept asking me, do you drink? Do you drink liquor? I said, no, I don't drink at all. They said, oh, you sure you don't drink? I said, no, I don't drink. I'm sure I don't drink. They said, well, something's wrong here. You're whatever the count is for your pancreatitis is off the charts, and we think we're going to have to do surgery. And I'm like, no, we gotta pray. We got to pray. I said, because I know what the problem is. I have to stop worrying. And while I was in the hospital 10 days, they came back every day. We can't find anything. We gave you a CAT scan. We gave you this. We gave you blood tests. And praise God. I'm praying, Lord, okay, I got it. I got this. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to worry. And the guy was telling me the whole time, he says, is what I wanted you to do, is it taking place anyway? Yeah. You know, the church didn't shut down. Amen. Place I work, you know, outside the church, didn't shut down. My family kept going. I said, Lord, I guess I'm not indispensable, am I? He said, no, I can replace you tomorrow. I said, okay. So don't worry, don't worry. And I remember the last day I was in the hospital, they came back, they said, we don't know what happened. The dietitian came in, and I asked her a simple question. I said, is there anything possibly that could have anything to do with my diet? And she said, well, I don't know. What do you eat? And I said, you know, during the holidays this time of year, I have my normal diet, you know, 5,000 calories a day. But then in the holidays, I like cashews, so I eat cashews. And she said, well, how many do you eat? I said, well, you know, depending on, you know, what I do, pound and a half at a time, something like that. And she said, oh, that could be it. She said, the thing that's going all whack on you, she said, when you eat cashews, she said, that's like putting gasoline on a fire. You're kicking this thing way up. She said, I recommend you not eat cashews. And the Lord said, yeah, don't eat cashews anymore. You'll be fine. And don't worry. And you said, well, that's crazy. You know, cashews don't. I'm telling you, I haven't eaten cashews, and I'm fine, right? Now, the doctors say, okay, you feel better and everything, and the numbers look better and everything. I'm accepting it. I know what the problem is, because God's told me. They said, but we should do exploratory surgery just in case. And I said, I don't think so. What would be the alternative? They said, well, you could just go home and wait for the pain to come back. We'll do that. 15 years later. Now, I'm not taking any credit for it because it was all the Lord. But it was not thinking with my carnal mind and wasn't thinking in fear that, oh my goodness, if I don't get this done, something's going to happen. It's like, I'm going to trust God, right? He's brought me all this way from the time I was born to a mother who had no means of support, had no food, and I came out with no assistance at 8 pounds, 9 ounces. From that day to this, God has had his hand on me, so why should I trust anybody else? And here's the other thing. And Lord, if it's time for me to go, only you know that, right? So the suffering I may go through, if I go through, and I never had any more pain, is light. Compared to what you want me to do. But I'm saying it wasn't me. It was God's Spirit because he had something else for me to do. He had a testimony he was preparing in my heart. I had to give him all the credit and all the honor because what he did was strip me from this thinking that I had any control and let me know he had all of it. All of it. Verse 28, and we'll close. It says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified." What then shall we say in response to this? This is what we should say. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, H1V1, I have lost a minute's sleep. Amen? If God is for us, who can be against us? You know, the Bible says, worrying can't change one color of this gray hair, right? Can't change it. If God wants me to live, I'll live. By the way, if God wants me to have a job, I have the job. It doesn't matter how many people want me to be fired. If God wants me there, I'm there. If he's for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? The principle of the kingdom of God is give and receive. We see it over and over again. You can't earn the grace of God or his mercy. He gives it freely, and he gives us all that we need. He gives us health. He gives it to us. We can't earn it. We can't will it. We can't force our way into it, but we can put ourselves at his feet and say, "Lord, hear me. Here I am. I trust you. Heal me." Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is he who justifies. Now, this was a thing I had to get now as we came into being a pastor. And there were people who were professing Christ, and they were doing things. I'm like, man, that ain't right. And the Lord would say to me, "Who are you?" "Well, I'm your servant." But he said, "Well, did I save you?" "Yeah." "Didn't you do stuff like this?" "Well, even if I didn't do it, I thought about it." The Lord judges my heart, right? I said, "Oh, okay, God. So if you choose them, I'm your servant, right? And I know if you can save me, you can save them. If you can deliver me, you can deliver them. If you can change me, you can change them." And so what I came to understand, when the Lord frees us from the carnal mind, we can't judge with what we see with our natural eyes. We now have to ask God, "Show me Christ, what you see in this person, and then let me work with that. Let me hear, Lord, what you hear from this person's heart so that I can work with that, because I'm not interested in what's going on the outside. I'm not interested in their physical situation. I want to know what you see, and I want to know what you know, and I want to do what you want me to do so that they can be what you want them to be." And you'll have to lead me by the Spirit, because my natural eyes and ears won't hear this. But you will, Lord. You'll teach me how to pray for them. You'll teach me the words to say that encourage them and lift them up. You'll show me when there's an opening to tell them about you so that they might be saved. Don't judge people, he says. And he says, because they don't belong to you, they belong to me. He's the one who justifies them. Thank God for Jesus. Who is it he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, he was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or dangerous sword? As it is written, "For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered." No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Thank you, Lord. More than conquerors through him who loved us. The carnal mind. If you live by it, you'll see limitations. But if you're led by the Spirit, you only see new beginnings. New beginnings. What Christ is working in our behalf, and the Holy Spirit is leading us to perfect us, to make us able to do what he wants us to do in the time to come. His will for us is good and perfect. I'm grateful today that 30 years later, the Lord has preserved my life and kept it. I'm grateful today that he gave me a family that I would not have had. I'm grateful today for each one of you, because I would never have had a spiritual family at all except for the grace of God. And I'm thankful for that in Jesus' name. I want to close by reading from Revelation 3, verse 7. Revelation 3, verse 7. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds, and see, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have, so that no one will take your crown. Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We have a great promise from the Lord. Let's live in the Spirit. Let's yield to the Spirit, stripping away our carnal minds and see the glory of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for all that you do, all you continue to do. Grateful, Lord, that you've allowed us to live to this day. Lord, we believe in your word, and Lord, whatever the situation has been, whatever the trials have been, your word says that as we press into you, Lord, that the latter days will be greater than the former. You've done so many good things for us, Lord, but the half has not yet been told. If we will yield and obey your word, if we will live by your word and seek your face at all times, seek you first, Lord, you have great promises and blessings for us, not because of our worthiness or righteousness, but because you are God and it is your nature to bless your people. Lord, help us to do your will, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God.